You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
With Auckland re-entering Level 3 lockdown, anecdotally there have been concerns that some workers may be taken advantage of. Ambiguities around wages and leave could leave some workers unable to work and without pay. However, unions such as Raise the Bar are encouraging workers to learn their rights and stand up to dodgy employers. Noah spoke to Raise the Bar founder Chloe Ann King about the importance of employers and the government taking responsibility for their workers.
To start, are there concerns workers may be taken advantage of during the most recent lockdown? What are they entitled to during Level 3?
Right. So, I mean, I can definitely reference back to our Level 4 lockdown, you know, our 7-week lockdown, and some of the really awful things I saw hospitality employers doing, like firing people at will, putting them through completely unfair and unreasonable redundancy processes, cutting shifts without, you know, without compensating the worker. So without a doubt, I'm extremely worried about hospital workers once again, facing some pretty big economic hurdles simply because their employers seem to have very little regard for the legal obligations that they have to their workers.
Is there anything the government could be doing to better protect these workers?
That's a pretty broad question. But look, COVID aside, right? We have our 2000 Employment Relations Act. Unfortunately, most of those laws are not being enforced in the hospitality industry. It is an unregulated industry with very low union density. Historically, unions have said that they have no interest in supporting hospital workers. And, you know, there's labour inspectors haven't set foot on hospitality sites in a very long time. So absolutely, it would be great if the government just enforced the laws we already have and held these employers to account would be fantastic.
How can workers deal with the stress of potentially having to go through more lockdowns throughout the year?
Yeah, look, I mean, we know that in low-wage industries like hospitality, agriculture, retail, that you know, mental health is a massive issue in the industry. We already work generally, specifically in agriculture and hospital, incredibly long hours. You know, we're on low wages. We're not guaranteed hours a lot of the time. We have to also face some really wonderful customers, but incredibly rude customers, and our working conditions are not great. They're often really dangerous. So one of the things I think that low-wage workers can do that is really empowering is to really start learning your rights. And at Raise the Bar Union, we actually have a free legal clinic for any low-wage workers. You don't have to be hospitality. It's the last Monday of every month, and you can Zoom into one of our legal clinics and talk directly with some of our volunteer employment lawyers and employment advocates with law degrees and myself. And we can absolutely educate you on your rights. We can troubleshoot any issues you're having in the workplace.
Other than just the mental health side, in terms of physical health, particularly around COVID, are there concerns about how well protected hospitality workers are?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Look, I've worked hospitality for 16 years. Just to give some context, in the 16 years I've worked the industry, I've actually not worked for one hospitality employer that had any robust anti-sexual harassment, racial harassment policies, anti-bullying policies. So the fact that they are not even doing that, it does not bode well for protecting their workers from COVID, particularly their workers who have heart problems or, you know, have chronic ongoing health issues that put them at a much higher risk to COVID. So, yeah, it would be really good to see hospital employers really stepping up and caring about their workers and ensuring that there's PPE gear available, that if your worker needs time off or they're too scared to come to work, then that should not be an issue, especially because the government's just introduced $350 worth of sick leave that employees and employers can access, and it doesn't hurt the employer's own pocket.
So is the onus to protect workers more on the employers than the government at the moment?
Look, it's on both of them, right? Like, employers have broad legal obligations to their workers to ensure that they can access their minimum employee entitlements, like sick leave. And we have very big, you know, wraparound health and safety laws that are often flouted in hospitality. The laws are there. Hospital employers have an absolute obligation to understand what their obligations are to their workers. But the government has an obligation to start caring about what's happening to hospitality workers. Right now, the government is failing to protect hospitality workers, which is interesting given every morning we serve MPs their coffee and their food, yet their care seems to stop there. So we need the employment laws that we already have to be enforced in these industries like hospitality, agriculture, and other really precarious, low-waged, and often dangerous industries to work.
And so over the past year, there's been a lot of talk about protecting workers and supporting workers, that sort of thing. Do you think the COVID pandemic will result in any long-term changes in the relationship between workers and employers? For example, something like sick days. Is that going to change, do you think?
So, you know, Jan Logie from the Greens has a bill for extending 5 days sick leave to 10. Unfortunately, from what I've been talking to some, you know, Green Party people, and low-wage workers weren't really consulted when they extended that bill. So it's interesting, right? Like, we already know, well, I personally know as someone that's advocated in hospitality for many years now and has worked the industry myself for 16 years and has interviewed hundreds of hospital workers, we can't even access, generally speaking, our 5 day sick leave. It's a precarious industry. We often move around from workplace to workplace. There's a six-month, you know, wait until you can actually access those 5 days. And even then, routinely, hospital workers are denied that 5 days paid sick leave. So I'd really like to know how the Greens are going to enforce the 10 days, considering we can't even access the five. I think it shows a really big gap between what politicians think we need as low-wage workers and what we actually need as low-wage workers.
And so you would rather see some legislation which is enforcing what you already have than adding to something you might not even be able to get?
Look, I fully support the extension to 10 days. I would never, ever not support something like that. However, we know that the Labor Inspectorate, who is responsible for enforcing employment laws, has been operating at half of what ILO, which is the International Labor Organization, so a branch of the UN, had recommended. So we had half, up until recently, of the Labor Inspectorates we needed to even, you know, barely enforce employment law in low-wage and precarious industries like HOSPO. So, look, I would like to see a lot more funding being pumped into the, you know, the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment and the ERA, the Employment Relations Authority. You know, policies and amendments and extending sick leave is just ink on paper for so many of us at the moment. And I think the government really needs to step up and start enforcing the laws we have.
And so one final question, are you optimistic that rights are going to continue to improve for workers?
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to be like a negative person here, but I think, you know, in 2018, you know, the government released data that a third of all complaints to the MBIE and the ERA were coming from HOSPO. I actually think we're going to continue to see workers' rights deteriorate in this country, and I think the government needs to at least start setting up a task force to really look at what is happening in low-wage industries, because right now they are failing us.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.